Grace and peace. I am so excited to be here with you today for another episode of Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. Each week, we try to bring you some information that will help you to ultimately be financially free. Today's show is very important to me because as we recently explored, mindset matters. But what happens when you experience something so traumatic, so devastating, that it stops you from moving forward in your life overall? Do you think that doesn't impact your income? Well, I'm absolutely here to tell you that I have certainly shared with you over the time that we've been together that I am a World Trade Center survivor. Interestingly enough, I'm a woman of prayer, and I think I've been known for that. And I used to pray. And I recall the Lord saying to me one day, Nicole, your dreams don't impress me. And I was devastated because can you imagine God saying that to you? Well, one day I realized I needed to really have a conversation about what was blocking my ability to dream big dreams. And I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Angela Clack. And she has been the individual that has journeyed with me throughout the years post 9/11, sort of just addressing what it is that I wanted to talk about today so that you don't have dream killers in your life, hindrances that, serve as obstacles for you. And so I thought it not robbery in doing this kind of show to invite Aunt Dr. Angela Clack to the show with me because if she can help me, she can help anybody. So without further ado, we do definitely want to welcome Dr. Angela Clack right here to Dare to Dream, with yours truly. There you go. Just looking as beautiful as ever. Thank you so much for embarking in this journey with me. First of all, please share with everyone who it is that you are, including the fact that you are my personal trauma specialist that I go to when I have troubles in my life.
Of course. So, hey, good day, everyone. I'm Dr. Angela Clack. I'm a licensed therapist. I practice in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So currently I've been in private practice for a minute. We'll say more than 25 years I've been in the field and in my own practice for at least 15. So I have been doing the work, and specifically trauma has always been something that I have wanted to work with, studied, continuing. I just keep learning and learning and learning about this work around trauma because it is so much a part of who we are in our history, as who we are as a people. And then we know with the world, tragic things like trauma and the pandemic that we just went through, there's trauma everywhere around us. And so I really work hard to help people to cope with that.
And you have done that for me. My post 9/11, I was just devastated. And I didn't really correlate it to it hindering my dreams initially, but I really wanted to dive into that today because if you're dealing with trauma day in and day out, we are reactive to things. So when you think about dream killers, how does trauma line up with that one thing that can serve as a dream killer in people's lives?
Ooh, so that's so deep. But concisely, how do I say this? I think when it comes to trauma, so much of who we are is changed, it's altered. And so a lot of what we sometimes thought we could achieve and accomplish and we dream about, when something adversely happens in our life, we get very discouraged, often very disconnected. And so it's hard for us to figure out sometimes and gain our bearings to get back on track. And so those things that we have on our dream boards, our vision boards, those things we dreamed about as little girls and little boys, when something tragically happens to us, our schema and view of the world shifts. So it's not that safe place that we once thought it was. And so it shifts our dreams from that imagination, that innocence, to one of concern, worry, can I do this?
That is so important because when I began thinking about my own ability to dream, I thought I was a great visionary even there. And one of the things that I struggled through was plowing ahead and recognizing that I was not, one, maximizing my time effectively. I was busy, but I wasn't as effective as Nicole has the capacity to be. The second thing is I was so all over the place trying to manage my life, my traumatic experiences, that I began to compartmentalize things. And that impacted my ability to earn. And I didn't realize it at first, but when I'm not thinking clearly, when I'm not, you know, recognizing that there may be seasons in my life indirectly where my body will respond to a certain season, like tensing up when 9/11 is quickly approaching, it affected my ability to earn. Now, I can see this as an individual and even as someone that deals with finances, but from the mental perspective, how is that correlated? Because I don't think I can articulate it probably as well as you can.
Yes. And you know, man, you are asking the best questions, Dr. Nicole, because often people talk about trauma from two camps. Either people overuse the word and use it inappropriately because they think things that are hard or traumatic, or they're afraid to use the word because it is traumatic. And if I embrace this, what does that mean? So we have these two camps. There's something you mentioned though, when you talked about the busyness. So we can be really busy and not productive, right? We can be scattered and just moving, shifting papers from one place to another, or we're so busy that we're distracted, that we're so busy. And the busyness can be a trauma response, because now one of my ways of coping is to be a workaholic and dive into my work because I'm so disoriented to everything around me and my mind. The one thing I know to do is to work. And so I will throw myself into the work, and it's a distraction from dealing with all of the things that are swirling around in my head and in my body because I just can't make sense of the trauma. Does that make sense?
It does, because that's exactly, I did work, but I recognize that while the world may identify the things that I have been blessed and privileged to do, it was busy work, right? And so in understanding that, I impeded my effectiveness in increasing my economic base. And so I understood my capacity. And these are some of the things that Dr. Clack helped me with. I understood my capacity and realized that while the rest of the world may have thought one thing about Dr. Nicole, I had the ability, focused and centered, to increase my bottom line without exhausting myself as physically as I did. And my earned income began to increase steadily once I began to get a grasp on where I was standing. So what are some of the steps or the tools that we can do when we realize that we may find ourselves doing nothing as a result of trauma, or doing too much and not being centered or focused because of trauma?
Well, first of all, if we're asking ourselves that question, it's probably also a good time to get some help. And so I want people to not feel like it is a sign of an illness or weakness to get help, but it's actually a sign of strength to be vulnerable enough to step into a space and say, hey, I'm so scattered or I feel so distracted, but I'm productive in some ways, but I don't feel like I'm as productive as I can be. I feel like I reach my capacity and then I peter out and then I can come back. And I just want to be more consistent. And I think for one thing I would say is, let's talk about getting help. That's the first thing I would say. And by help, I mean a professional mental health person who can help you.
Can we pause right there? Because that's one of the things that we're trying to do, take away the stigma of, mental health and knowing that it is always good to talk to someone. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to be very transparent today, because I know that I serve as an influential person, to society at large. And, you know, sometimes high-performing individuals, other individuals think, well, she doesn't need help. No, I absolutely have. And I have called you in the middle of a crisis. And even my children say, have you talked to Dr. Clack lately? Could you get on? You know, you're just more like, oh, you're doing too much. Nicole, you're doing too much, Mom, you know, and so other people can identify it, and it is impacting your optimal performance, and I want people to see this. So can we get to a place where we normalize it? How do we do that? How do we start there with the basic thing? Besides Dr. Nicole saying, hey, everybody, I have a trauma specialist and you need to have, you know, at least an advisor too. How do we get started there?
I like that advisor. Yes, someone who's even an advisor. So sometimes people just need a check-in. You may be doing very well, but we all go through things and it's okay to just do a check-in with someone. And then other times we need to build a relationship with someone, someone who's outside of us, someone who has an objective view, and someone who can help us take a deeper dive into our mental health. So when you talk about financial, the first thing that comes to my mind is like mental health is mental wealth, and it does impact your bottom line. So one of the things about you, Dr. Nicole, since you are being so transparent, is you make this sometimes look easy to people because they see you being successful. They see you doing this and they see you doing that. But because you don't, and we don't need to share everything with everybody, but people don't know there's sometimes in our darkest hours where we have to go to our spiritual mentors or our spiritual parents or our therapist because we also struggle. But because as Black women, we make it look like we wear the mask. Well, we'll put it that way. We wear the mask. So to normalize that, it is these kind of conversations where we say, hey, I struggle, you struggle, we all struggle. No one is above being impacted by trauma. We all at some point are going to endure some things or something in our life where we need someone to help us walk through the journey.
So let's take it down a notch because, you know, I started off dealing with someone because I experienced trauma. There are some of us that just need to talk to somebody because we ain't wrapped too tight. So, you know,
I did not say that. I said it.
I want everybody to know that it came from me, you know, because sometimes you got to lighten the tone. You know what I mean? And so I did want to address the fact that it doesn't have to be so dire because you're talking about, you know, normalizing, speaking to a mental health professional. And the truth of the matter is that I have in my own mind gone to the extreme of my trauma specialist, but sometimes life is overwhelming. The pandemic was overwhelming. Yes, we cannot identify it or deem it as traumatic, but sometimes life is just overwhelming. Death happens, you lost your job. You know, there's so many bad things going on, one crisis after another. It doesn't need to raise to the bar or the level of trauma. And we talk to our friends, our peer group, but there is a distinction between talking to that third party disinterested individual that is not going to tell you everything that you necessarily want to hear or help ask the right questions to guide you to come up with sound solutions for yourself. And so I wanted to bring it down just a little bit of how invaluable a Dr. Angela Clack and your profession is for individuals that really want to just stay the course and fulfill those dreams that we always talk about.
So I think it's important that people consider who they see too. So I think sometimes we look at people and we think that they're a psychiatrist, they're a psychologist. You know, when it comes down to it, you want someone that you identify with and you can relate to. So you do that by asking people very simply, hey, do you know someone that I can see? So word of mouth is the easiest way and probably the most authentic way for someone to say, yes, this is who I see, or maybe she can help you find that person. So the first thing is just like, say that it's okay that and give yourself permission to ask for help.
Right.
And you can start by asking a colleague, a friend, or another professional if they can't see you, say, do you know who I can see? I mean, I think that's the simplest way I want people to think about it is giving myself permission to know that it's okay not to be okay all the time.
So how do we make this a part of our investment into ourselves? Right. So, right. I'm always bringing it from an economic base. Right. So how do I make making sure that because now self-care is such a, you know, cliche word, but, you know, as a part of my overall self-care and a part of my bottom line to achieve the goals and the dreams that I have, that I have in this a financial byline, so to speak, right? That says, when I need to get to someone, I can get them. How do we make that a part of our daily regimen or our annual objectives to say, this is going to be included because I really desire to see myself in another place. I really desire to achieve the vision and the goals that are associated with my name. And I'm not gonna allow roadblocks or stumbling blocks that can oftentimes cause us immobility. I'm not going to allow that to happen. How do we make it an economic so I can dream financially to get where it is I'm trying to go purposefully?
So I would start with, and I tell people, just like you go to your physician. So if you go see your primary care physician, or you go to get dental care, or your gynecologist, whoever that physician is, you go and you go without fear of stigma or someone saying, why are you going to that doctor? And I think we have to treat mental health the same way we do other providers. And so I tell people, at the least, if you need a mental health checkup, you treat it the same way you would for your physical. When most of us get a physical, for women, we get pap smears, we keep up with that. And for some women, they have to see doctors more frequently if there's a family or genetic history of something. And so treat mental health the same way. Like, there's no stigma when people say, oh, I am going to see my cancer specialist. No one says, are you crazy? No one says that doesn't make sense. I think we have to think about mental health the same way we do about physical health. Because it all at the end of the day, we're talking about general well-being. And well-being is mind, body, which also affects your productivity on the job. So if I'm not well and I'm starting to call out of work, and maybe I have a job that maybe I'm contracted, and so I don't have benefits. If I call out, I don't work, I don't make money. Therefore, now I'm going to be in a place where I'm having difficulty paying bills and buying the things I want. So that's where I think about health on an individual level, but also on a corporation or a group level. Like, our jobs and our institutions and all of those settings where people work at, they really have to consider well-being now, particularly since the pandemic, right, where many people were out of work and the way that we work changed, and it changed their bottom line. How many businesses went out of business, how many flourished, and maybe how many stayed the same. So we have to be well to affect, you know, keep our jobs and to keep, it's well-being is what I want people to hear. If you can't hear mental health, hear well-being. It's the same thing around mental wellness.
I'm glad that you said that and you began to identify specifically for women. So even if we were to do an annual checkup, an annual pap smear and an annual mammogram, that's three times that we have normalized, you know, just really kind of having conversation. I also wanted to recognize that, we as Black women don't identify when too much is too much, right? So, you have a high performing person such as myself, that extremity oftentimes, makes others think that I'm Superwoman, and I'm not. And I try not to wear a mask. That's the beautiful thing about it, is we can have these candid conversations now because I try not to wear a mask. And, so what someone might perceive to be successful, and listen, guys, some of the things that Dr. Clark and I are talking about, I've had in these sessions, like, when you are who I was and I am today, where I thought I was going to be, and have my first $1 million by the age of 35. And then 9/11 comes along and it's like, wait a minute, I didn't do this to myself. This is not fair. And I went all the way in as a result of it, because my inadequacy in my own mind did not process. Slow down, girl, for a moment. Slow down, be easy. This was a really big thing that it may take you some time to recover from. But we do that to ourselves, and we do not shift the strategy to still achieve the dreams. And that's the thing that, I really want people to understand. It doesn't matter what might have happened that made you stop short for a moment, but that there is a way to process through and get back on track so that those moments or experiences or crises do not become dream killers. I don't like dream killers, Dr. Clark. I just don't like them. And so how do we, I know you helped me. So, and I shared really my real emotion, coming in post 9/11, but how do we get people past that besides talking to you? And I know, like, that's why they should book somebody like you. I get that too.
Oh, man, I love that question.
To get you there. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. And I love this question, because when you talk about, and when we talk about particularly Black women or just people who have not been able to shift strategy, I love that. That is so true. So I'm thinking about some women that I'm working with and men who were part of the big tech layoff recently. And so, these are people who were making six figures and had no idea this was coming, and were one. And maybe this wasn't the first big tech cut they didn't make. This might be the second one. And so the way that they thought about how they were going to earn a living has now shifted their hope meter. It's like, wait, I lived according to this revenue. Now I'm here and I can't shift. Now, here they get maybe this huge, beautiful, which it may not look beautiful to some, but they get this nice severance package, which means you got a little time. You don't have to do something, but their mind is in go mode. And so here they are now trying to figure out the next job. But guess what? They're also struggling with the grief of not being where they thought they would be. So there is this push and pull in the mind around, but I'm supposed to be doing this, but here you have a little bit of a gift that says you needed a break anyway. Here you have a little bit room before you have to figure, you have to jump back. So helping people shift strategy is so tough. And the language that I use for them is something they don't really readily embrace when I say, listen, this might look like but this could be a promotion in a different way. You were demoted, laid off, or whatever, but this could be a promotion or a gift because you needed the space to do this. And so helping people shift that strategy takes a bit of a massaging and of the mindset, but also helping them to grieve. Right. Because people only think of grief as physical death, right. But grief can come from so many, and grief and loss comes from so many changes in our life, particularly interrupted, right? Disrupted ones, where there was no way we knew this was coming, or we did, and we didn't think it was going to affect us.
So I want everyone to understand that, you know, what we're talking about today are things that really can affect your ability to dare to dream and then to pursue it. I will also say this, I wrote this phenomenal book. I think it's phenomenal. It's got a new life to it, called Dare to Dream with Dr. Dare to Dream is the name of the book. The podcast is with Dr. Nicole, but it says pushing past your pain to pursue purpose. Right. And so even in doing that, I'm like, well, what did I do? What were some of the strategies? And I really, always stood in a place of, we oftentimes consider our level of success in pursuing our dreams with the economic dollar attached to it. And the one thing that I realized is, as you've identified, as we've talked about, shifting strategies does not mean throw the entire dream away. And there are individuals such as yourself that will help even those high functioning and those that may not be able to cope well with things. You help us to determine, okay, how can I look at something differently? And I think that's where I want to land today. I want to make sure that people understand that there are always alternative ways to achieve a particular goal or dream. And so, Dr. Clack, is there a way, and I will give you guys what it is that I've done. I've learned freebase writing. As a writer, I've done freebase writing. What is it that I want to do? So I always ask the question, if money is not an issue, what would you be doing with your life, with your world, or what have you? And now, what will hinder you from doing those things? And I begin to write those things out, all of the excuses. And by the time I look at it, how do I cross those things off? That has been therapeutic for me. Because I'm still trying to make $1 million in a day. What ways are we able to get rid of the dream killers that we put in our own minds? Are there some strategies or some tools that we can implement in order to make that happen?
Yes. And the biggest one I'll say is not that dissimilar from what you just described is journaling or scripting, we might call that. And I really want to break it down really quickly is that journaling is not like your high school diary. A lot of times I'm reintroducing the idea and therapeutic nature of journaling to people. And they're very averse because they only remember it as that high school diary and someone found it and they were, humiliated by what was in it. But this is really a different way to script out your experience because you also can write it as if it already happened. Right. And you start to walk inside of that, like, you're claiming it already, it's there. And you keep doing those kind of affirmations and confessions of faith over them. And you're not writing the pain, you're actually writing to work through the pain. Because right. That's the other thing. People are like, I don't want to, if I write it, then I'm reliving it. And I'm like, okay, maybe in the beginning, but once I teach you how to journal in a way that is therapeutic and productive, you'll be working just like you were talking about the subtitle of your book. you're turning that pain into a purpose. So you're not going to keep writing about the pain story. We have to come through that. You're not going to keep rewriting that narrative. It's about shifting into what's next for us. So journaling is really big, of course, talking to someone, but mentors are huge. Somebody who's walked this path already. There's somebody who's been through a path that all of us are getting ready. There's somebody, because there's too many books out here. You have all of these authors out here. We've all written books about something because at some point in our life, that was cathartic for us too. So find that person and connect with a good mentor. So those are the two things that comes to my mind.
Listen, let me tell you how much of a gem, a godsend, a blessing that you are. And so I have been privileged to bring this particular, it's a slightly different episode of Dare to Dream, but I thought it was important to deal with some of the things that hinder us from dreaming. So even in my going out, first of all, I want to ask you, do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share? I thought that was amazing right there. But if there's something final that you would like to say, and then I want to give people an idea of what they can do financially to dare to dream and push past your pain and pursue your purpose, besides buying that book that you just talked about. Any final thoughts?
You know, my final thought is that people just have to believe again. I think so much of what's happened in the world has discouraged us, but we can believe again, and you have to trust again and learn to trust yourself again. No matter how many times it takes, and if you need someone to walk through you with that journey, find that person that you can trust and confide in.
I have a nugget for everybody. Let me tell you what it is that I did a long time ago. The first thing that I did when I got my first corporate check in terms of me establishing my own business is that I sacrificed one of those checks and I wrote a check payable to myself for $1 million. And then I wrote in the memo line, bonus, right? Because I wanted people to understand that that check was my bonus check, which means my company was making more than enough money to ensure that would happen. The second thing that I did thereafter, and I've had to shift time and time and time again as a result of a life happening, is that if I want to make $100,000, how am I going to make that $100,000? If I want to make $500,000, how am I going to make $500,000? And I go 12 months and then I 12 months in a year, then I break it down to what needs to be done, you know, annually, then those 12 months, then I break it down to the 52 weeks that is in a year. And then what do I need to do from day to day. And I assess it every month to see, am I off? And what I've learned, even though my dreams were bigger than what I've actually accomplished, even to date, what I've learned is the moments in which I am more productive in the areas in which I want to create income, and less productive based off of the nature of what it is that I do. So I was able to compensate and tweak accordingly over an extended period of time. Why am I telling you this as my final thought for you to dare to dream? You can continue to dream. It may not get there and happen for you in a year, but it's inevitable if you continue to pursue it, if you continue to go back to the drawing board, if you continue to do the things that are necessary. The first year I hit 100,000, I was so excited. Took me about 5 years to hit that first 100,000. You don't just move from 100,000 to 150,000, at least not when you're high achieving like me. You go to $500,000, and it takes time to get to that place. Don't look at my numbers, look at our strategy, and do not allow life to happen in the process that will cause your dreams to die. As always, it is a pleasure and a privilege to bring you some thoughtful information so that you too can dare to dream. And if you would like to be on the next episode of Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole, check us out, hit us up, and we would love to talk to you and help you push past your pain to pursue your purpose. Until next time, God bless. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Next Financial Group Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.